Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein with a Tshuva Day, a response of a day for the 28th of Sivan. Today's response is going to be about Rav Moshe Feinstein's view of the Beta Yisrael, the Ethiopian Jews, who formerly were known as the Falashes, who called themselves the Beta Yisrael. And the Tshuva, the response, was written on the 28th of Sivan in Tuf Shin Mem He, 1985. Rav Moshe was really very advanced in age, and within a year or two, he had passed away. So he's old enough that in this tshuva to his grandson, Yaakov Tendler, he says that he himself is not writing the tshuva. He is ordering that it be written as he said it in his name. So he's already at a point where writing is very difficult for him. This is at a time when many more of the Beta Yisrael were making Aliyah, were being brought to Israel. That was a program that started in the late 70s, 79, and went all the way to 1990. And today, at least according to Wikipedia, there are about 120,000 Beta Yisrael Ethiopians in Israel, a growing percentage from almost a third of whom were born in Israel now already, and they weren't the ones, but have parents who came from Ethiopia. So the question about the Ethiopians was, are they in fact Jews? And that was a big, complicated question at the time. It had started already, we're going to see in a response by Rav Avad Yosef on the issue, that it started centuries before. The Radvaz in the 1400s had encountered such Jews. But even in the state of Israel in the early 50s, Rav Herzog had also dealt with the issue before. So Rav Moshe has asked Tzinea, but those were in very small numbers of Ethiopians who were coming to Israel. Now you had thousands of Ethiopians being brought to Israel. And the question was, what did you have to do with them? What was the story in terms of their Judaism? And the problem was that they claimed to be Jewish, but the version of Judaism that they practiced did not match up with the common traditional version of Judaism. It was much more like what we think of as the Karaite way of doing things or the Sadducee way of doing things, meaning they did not seem to have any connection to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, to the oral law, and they had developed their halakha as if, it seemed, they just read the literal meaning of the Torah Shebichtav, of the written, of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, of the five books of the Torah. And so then the question was, were they actual Jews? Were they Jews who lost sight of the oral law? Were they converts at some point and they hadn't known very much what to do? Or were they just people who picked up a set of practices based on a book that they had found with all sorts of halakhic ramifications to each of those issues? So that was the question that came up. It was a big political issue at the time. I remember I was around in Israel off and on at the time, and the Ethiopians were very offended by the idea that some would tell them that they weren't Jewish. And we'll see what Rav Moshe says in a second. And so it was a political as well as a halakhic question. So Rav Moshe was asked, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yoredeya Part 4, Siman Mem Aleph, chapter, responsum 41, was asked about educating the Ethiopians. He calls them the Falashes, because I think back then people were calling them the Falashes, but it's a name that the Ethiopians themselves don't like. So the question was, should you educate them in terms of Torah? Should we try to give them a Torah education even before they convert misafik? Meaning, one option with what to do with the Ethiopians was to ask them to, or convince them to, or urge them to do a conversion just in case. So how does a conversion just in case work? It means you may be Jewish, but we have enough doubts about whether you're Jewish, although we're happy to have you become Jewish, that we'd like you to convert. At the time, the Ethiopians didn't take well to that because they felt that they were Jewish and they felt that they'd been persecuted. They didn't feel this. This was a fact. They'd been persecuted for being Jewish and they didn't think that anybody should cast aspersions on their Judaism. So the question here, though, that Rav Moshe is asking, that Feinstein is answering, is whether to educate them to Torah purposes. Sort of. Moshe says to his grandson, writes to his grandson Yaakov, that he'd already had his brother. This grandson Yaakov is the brother of Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, who later had a whole history and career of his own, but was at this time in his life very much connected to his grandfather and working for and with his grandfather, helping his grandfather continue his work for as long as he was able. So if Moshe says to this grandson, Dr. Yaakov Tendler, I'm going to say to you what I already said to your brother. And that's another tshuva we'll see in a second. Both tshuvot are relatively short, so they won't take us a lot of time. And he says, I have trouble writing, but I'm telling people to write in my name. And the reason is because this is important for public policy. And then he says, and by the way, you know that I make a practice, I am very careful not to mix in to issues that have halakhic ramifications for the rabbis of, for the Jews of, and the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, because they can take care of themselves, basically. So, and I think that I've seen that in tshuvot by rabbis in Israel who will say that about problems that really only apply to Chutz La'aretz. So there's a professional courtesy, as it were, of saying that I'm not there, and there are perfectly competent people over there, they'll take care of it. But, he says, since this question has other ramifications, and also I'm really just going to be answering not lamasa, what should happen, but in practice, I'm just going to be telling you theoretical understandings of what I'm thinking. So based on what I'm saying, people can then go consult with the rabbis in Israel, and therefore I feel comfortable answering. So he says, after looking into it carefully, is what he says. He says, first of all, we don't educate them to understand Judaism and to be good Jews and to know what it means to be a good Jew and to try to encourage them to good observance. It'll get worse, he says, right? They'll become even more distant, and then they also probably won't want to convert, which eventually happened in a lot of cases. And I don't have no idea. I don't remember what the final conclusion was in this issue. It might have been that they didn't convert, and that'll be worse, and therefore that could cause, he says, then it could cause intermarriage, meaning if they don't convert, then if a Jew marries an Ethiopian, which otherwise Moshe would not have a problem with, as we'll see in a second, it'll be a problem because it's maybe an intermarriage of a Jew with a non-Jew. Whereas if we can convince them to convert, and the conversion is not that we know they're not Jewish, it's that we're not sure whether they're Jewish or not. So if we can convince them to convert, it gets rid of all of those problems. And therefore, Moshe says, since there's a public policy here, right? You've got these thousands of Ethiopians in Israel, and they're going to be marrying people, and they're going to be becoming part of Israeli society. We would much prefer to have them convert. If part of the way to get them, we can convince them that they need to convert, is that we also educate them, then for sure we have to educate them in terms of bringing this, and the point of the education is to convince them to become full Jews, to practice Judaism appropriately, and part of that will be converting just in case, as he's said before. So one of the reasons why people had doubts about that is that the Gemara in Chagiga reports the opinion of Rabbi Ami that we don't teach Torah to a non-Jew. This is a halakhic question of its own as to what we do and don't teach non-Jews. But in this case, if we're worried that these people are not Jewish, does that not seem to violate? And we're going to now educate them and try to teach them about Judaism, teach them about Judaism in a very active way, meaning it's not one of these theoretical lectures about some Jewish ideas where non-Jews might happen to hear. This is an active attempt at chinuch in the full sense of the word, in the sense of education as preparation to take their role as adults in the Jewish community. So some had said, how can we do that with people who aren't, we don't know are Jewish, aren't we maybe teaching Torah to non-Jews? So Rav Moshe says, first of all, since maybe they are Jews, and we're going to see that Rav Adya say very vigorously argued that they were definitely Jews, Moshe was willing to say, since they maybe are Jews, that's one reason that we're allowed to teach them Torah, because we're not. Why not? And also, there's a reason for it. And the reason for it is, so it's not, and the reason for it is that he thinks it's going to help the broader Jewish community of the land of Israel by virtue of the fact that when they have the Ethiopians in their midst, they'll be Jews, as opposed to being a problematic issue. And therefore, he doesn't think that prohibition of teaching Torah to non-Jews applies whenever there's a reason. And then there's another tshuva elsewhere that he sends us to, where he talks about teaching Torah to somebody who wants to convert in general. So, however, he says, when teaching them Torah, and there's an interesting perspective on how education works and something to think about. He says it's very important not to teach them false halachot. So what kind of false halachot could you imagine somebody teaching Ethiopians or any non-Jews or any Suffolk Jews? Or Moshe says you can't teach them that they're definitely Jewish because that's not true, according to Moshe's opinion. You have to teach them that we think that for all that we think that there's some doubt about whether they're actually Jewish, for the various historical and halakhic reasons that we'll get to in a few minutes, but basically because we don't know that they're Jewish and they don't act fully Jewishly, and we have no direct tradition of their Jewishness. Nonetheless, Moshe says, what we say to them is, but we're happy to teach you Torah, we're happy to have you join us, we're happy to have you be part of us, and we think you're quite possibly Jewish, but we want you to convert just in case, basically. And then, but he says, but halakhically, he thinks until they're converted, you can't do anything with them in terms of Judaism. In other words, because we have to be machmir, we don't know they're Jewish, that means they can't count for a minyan, they can't get an aliyah la Torah. There's no reason to embarrass them about any of this, but He says, "Ain levaisham, no, don't do anything to embarrass them, don't do anything to distance them." Aval ain lachanifam. So chanifa in Jewish thought is when we say things to people to make them feel better about themselves, even though those things aren't true. Right? That's chanifa. Chanifa is when we say things that are false, or even partially true, and we ignore other important things. It's when we shape our speech to other people to try to make them feel better in ways that are inappropriate. But he says, but they for themselves, especially since they think they're Jewish, they for themselves have to be machmir to keep mitzvos, because after all, maybe they are Jewish. So Rav Moshe's answer to this grandson was, they're maybe Jewish. That was his position. They are maybe Jewish. They're being maybe Jewish. It means that they have to, he thinks they should, and they need to convert just in case they aren't actually Jewish. And that before they convert, we're not allowed to treat them halachically as full Jews in terms of marriage, in terms of getting an Aliyah LaTorah, participating in the in shul things, making a minyan for various purposes. They don't count for any of that, but they should be keeping mitzvos. On the other hand, they're not non-Jews in the sense that it's a problem to teach them Torah. We have very good reasons to teach them Torah. A, they might be Jewish. B, even if they're not Jewish, since they are now part of Israeli society and they're going to be mixing into Israeli society, and he does not say we should not mix them in. We'll see that in a second. In the tshuva he wrote 2 days before that, to his other grandson, to one of his other grandchildren, to Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, Rav Moshe says, we should educate them and say that we're trying to help bring them into the fold and be part of the full Jewish community. In a response to me, he wrote 2 days earlier, Chav Vav Sivan, and this one appears in Evan Ezer, Chelek Hei Siman Aleph, the fifth part of Evan Ezer, the first Siman. So he wrote this letter to Rabbi Mordechai Tendler, at his request, at Mordechai Tendler's request, he wants to verify what Mordechai Tendler has said in his name several times already. And we know that this response is really what he meant to write, and this was written in his name because he, in the later tshuva, in the later response, he told his other grandson that he had already written this letter or to his brother. So this is a tshuva, even though it appears in a later volume of Igrot Moshe, it actually is already referred to in this earlier volume, and therefore we have full reason to think that this is actually what was Rav Moshe's position, because it also echoes what he said in the tshuva that we just saw together. So here he writes that in terms of the Ethiopians, that it's well known that the Radbaz, who's living in the 1400s in Egypt, has a tshuva where he says that he encountered these Jews, and it sounds there that the Radbaz thinks of these Jews as full Jews. What the Radbaz says is that they are from the tribe of Dan. They are the descendants of the tribe of Dan. Now I saw on Wikipedia, I don't know if it's true, but I saw on Wikipedia that actually the 9th century traveler, there was a royal, famous Jewish traveler, meaning who went around from place to place and then wrote up about his experience, called Eldad HaDani, and that he also encountered these Jews, and he had said they're descendants of the tribe of Dan, and the Radbaz says they're from the tribe of Dan, and that therefore they're Jews. Rav Moshe says, now in the 20th century, in 1985, it's hard for us to rely on that Radbaz, because first off, it's not clear that the Radbaz, Rav Moshe says, it's not clear that the Radbaz had fully checked the reality. It's not clear that he was absolutely up on the reality. And then, even if he was, even if it was true in the 1400s that they were descendants of the tribe of Dan, we don't know if that might have changed. Because over time, there might have been such mixing that we can't trust that anymore. Meaning, if you have whatever the numbers are, but if you have 10,000 members of the tribe of Dan, and now we have 100,000 Ethiopians or 80,000 Ethiopians, the question would be, was that all natural growth, or was there intermarriage, and so much intermarriage that even the majority of them have to be considered non-Jews? Another problem that theoretically would come up would be the question of Mamzerut. The question of Mamzerut would be, let's suppose for a second that they are Jewish, right? It's not always good to be Jewish. If they're non-Jews and they want to convert, then we don't have to worry about any problems with their lineage. But if they have been Jews all this time, then already we have to worry about three kinds of issues, really. There's two kinds of issues. One is, they might have relatives. The Ravad Yosef will deal with that in a second, but they might have married relatives, and that would create Mamzerim, that would create children who are illegitimate, and then all of their descendants are illegitimate, can't marry into the regular Jewish people. Or just the much more common way to create a mamzer, not that you're trying, which is that if they get married halakhically in some sense, and they don't get divorced halakhically, then children from second marriages will be mamzerim. And then over the course of centuries, maybe there are mamzerim. So Rav Moshe says, no, that we don't have to worry about, as the Radvans had written, because there are many ways to doubt that that's true or that we have to worry about that. That is not an issue that we have to struggle with. But in terms of their Judaism, Rav Moshe now says again that it's a suffix, we're not sure, and therefore we should really have them do a conversion, and that's what they need to do. But even before that, so until now, he had said to the other brother, to the other Tendler, to Dr. Yaakov Tendler, he had said, but we can educate them. Here he says also that even before they convert, we do have an obligation to save them from being destroyed and from danger, as we do with any other Jew. Meaning they're in Ethiopia, and there's problems with anti-Semitism in Ethiopia, with that they are being persecuted for being Jewish, and part of the reason for the airlift that happened was to get them out of a terrible situation where they were in trouble, and the trouble was by virtue of their being Jewish. So it's somewhat paradoxical that Ramosh is saying we're not really sure they're Jews, but even though we're not sure that they're Jews, we're going to save them as if they're Jews. And the reason he gives is shesafek nefashot lehakel. We have a general halachic principle, and we're used to seeing this principle in action in other ways. But the principle is that if we have a doubt about saving lives, a Jewish life, we're makil on this issue. So usually that comes up in the sense of, let's say it's Shabbos or another day that we wouldn't usually do certain kinds of activities, and somebody's maybe in danger of their life, maybe just ill, so we're very makil, we're very lenient about that. Or, as others would say, we're very machmir about pikuach nefesh, we're very stringent about making sure to save lives. So if that's what's going on, we're very makil. But Rav Moshe says that applies here as well, where here the whole question is whether they're actually Jews. So that's a fascinating thing to keep in mind. Rav Moshe is saying it's not only that we're lenient about activities to save an actual Jew's life, we're also lenient about whether or not somebody is Jewish in terms of applying these halakhot. Not only that, even if it were to be true, Rav Moshe says, even if it were to be true that they're in fact not Jewish, but since they think of themselves as Jewish, another fascinating idea to think about, since they think of themselves as Jewish, and they dedicate their lives to their Judaism, meaning they suffer for it, they stand up for it, and they bear costs of it, we are obligated to save them. Now that's a very important expansion of something. It means that if somebody fools themselves into thinking they're Jewish, and they're wrong, but they stand up for their Jewishness and they bear costs of their Jewishness. Rav Moshe is saying, even though lineage-wise, they may have nothing to do, no connection to Judaism, that already creates a certain connection between us and them, between the Jewish community and these people, and therefore we have the obligation to save them, and therefore he would say, we would save them, and we would try to and bring them close so they can convert and become part of us in the way that they've already brought now. Rav Moshe seems to have felt that they shouldn't be brought to Israel until they had already converted, because he didn't want them getting to Israel and then the process of intermingling of communities will already start happening, and he wants that only to happen after they've converted. That's not what happened in the end, but that's what he had wanted to happen for that very reason, that he's worried about that. But once they've converted, he says, by the way, once they've converted, and remember, this is a conversion, misafek, it's a conversion being done because perhaps they're not Jewish. So once that conversion is done, then they are fully Jewish, he says, and we have to help them and support them with all of their needs, whether that's physical or financial or spiritual. And he says, I've been very distressed to hear that there are those in Eretz Yisrael who say, no, we don't have to bother trying to bring them closer to Judaism. Meaning, let's say people were involved in Kiruv, and they say, well, we're going to do Kiruv for this community and that community, but the Ethiopians, we have no need to. And he says, and it's terrible because for one thing, it might mean that these people will end up not staying Jewish or not being connected to their Judaism. And he says, the fascinating line, I'm using that word fascinating too much today, I apologize, but I find a lot interesting in this tshuva. V'nireli, it seems to me, he says, shekach noagim, that the reason why that's happening, that people are not feeling the need to educate them to become part of the Torah community, rak mishum shetseva oram hu shachor, it's because the color of their skin is black, right? And then Rav Moshe adds, u'pashut shiyesh dekavam, and obviously, dipashut shiyesh dekavam, obviously we have to bring them close as much as we can, not only because they're no different than other Jews, they're no worse than other Jews, he writes, but even more so, and it doesn't matter, the color of their skin, Rav Moshe writes in 1985, color of their skin makes no difference in terms of their Judaism, in terms of our connection to them. More than that, he says, if they have converted, Right? If we think of them as converts, then there's all the mitzvos of haftamet ager, of the requirement to love gerim, to love converts, and therefore we'd even have to treat them maybe better than other normal Jews for that reason, and therefore he closes with the hope that this all works itself out. And those are Rav Moshe's tshuvot. So Rav Moshe Feinstein took the firm position, and he thought these people could not be counted yet as full Jews because there were enough doubts about whether they were Jewish that you couldn't count them as Jews. You couldn't think of them as full Jews in terms of including them in a minyan, including in terms of intermarrying, marrying Ethiopians, etc., etc. And therefore, the solution he held was to convert them. He thought the ideal would be to convert them before they got to Israel, but to convert them. And as we're converting them, not to lie to them and say, no, of course we think you're Jewish. The answer would be, for emotion, what you could legitimately say is, we know you think you're Jewish. By the fact that you think you're Jewish and you've suffered for the fact that you think you're Jewish, we are happy to include you among us and to bring you among us. For those purposes, we need a conversion and to educate them as much as possible. And that's the way emotion would have hoped that it would have happened. It's not the way it worked out, but that's the way emotion would have hoped it would have happened. And Rav Moshe is clear that once such a conversion would happen, these people are Jews, and that's the way they need to be treated, and he has no problem. He's clear. He has no problem then with them, with the Ethiopians marrying other Jews of whatever descent, that all this is fine and good because we're all Jews. I have always thought that was I didn't read it at the time, but I heard about this tshuva in the mid-1980s, and I have always thought it was an interesting and judicious and well-considered opinion. That's the opinion of Moshe and of others. Rav Yosef did not agree. And I don't want to get into the psychology of it, right? Clearly there's the element of it that he just thought the halakha was what the halakha was, but he's going against, as we'll see in a brief, much briefer summary of his tshuva, since he's not our tshuva, our responsible for this day, the responsible for the day of Rav Moshe's opinion. But Rav Yosef in Yabia Omer, the eighth volume of Yabia Omer, Evan Ezer, Simon Yud Aleph, when he's talking about the people who come from Ethiopia, whom he does not refer to as the Falashas. And he wrote this tshuva just before Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, but he already knew Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion. That's how I found my way to this tshuva, because he already knew Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion on this question and others as well. So, as we'll see, so he thinks it's not true. He thinks when it comes to the Ethiopians, the tshuva of the Radvaz should be the halakha. The Radvaz had written in the 1400s, these are the descendants of Dan, and that means that they're the descendants of Dan. And because he says that the Radvaz gives no impression that he doubted it at all, and he thinks that in that time there were people with good lineage traditions, and the fact that these people only knew the Torah Shebichtav, only knew the written law, that was because they didn't have a lot of Torah scholars among them. But if we teach them, then they'll learn, then they'll agree, and they're like a tinok shenishba. They're like people who grew up in a non-Jewish environment but are full Jews. And we have such a thing, and we have such a concept already in the Gemara. If you took a Jew, and for whatever reason, you have them grow up where there's no other Jews around, that Jew is still a full Jew. And the fact that they might come up with strange ideas about what halacha is doesn't matter to us. That's his position with the Ethiopians, and therefore we have to save them, we have to bring them, and help them get to Israel and help support them in all the ways that Rav Moshe actually agreed to. But Rav Yosef is saying it's because we can assume that they're Jewish by virtue of this Radvaz. And then he says it's not only the Radvaz is a student, the Maharikash, who I had to look up, but it's Rav Yaakov Castro, has a discussion in one of his writings, in one of his glosses on Yoredeya, where he talks about the Yudim HaChabashim, which I also had to look up, the Abyssinian Jews. Right? Abyssinia is a section of northern Ethiopia. So he says that even though they act like Karaites, we have to save them, redeem them from trouble, and we have to support them because they're from the tribe of Dan. And he ruled that way in halakhic purposes. He says if you have a Abyssinian slave, they don't need to get shichrur in the way that non-Jewish slaves do because he holds they're Jewish. So Rav Yosef's fundamental position is that since the Radvaz and the Maharikash held that these people were Jewish and they acted on halakha, that creates what's called a chazaka, that creates a presumption of Jewishness. And Rav Yosef's position is that this presumption of Jewishness is so strong that we should not go against it, even though, as Rav Moshe had said, hundreds of years have passed and you don't know what's happened since then. He thinks that, you know, that these sources, these precedents are strong enough that we don't have to worry about this, because chazaka, the presumption of a certain situation staying the way it is strong enough that that we're allowed to stand by it and we're allowed to hold on to it. And he says, and he found the tshuva of the Raphael Meir of Panigel, who is a Rav Rashi, who was the chief rabbi of Israel in the late 1800s, starting in 1880, I think. In the 1880s, 1890s, he was the Rav Rashi. And I want to say that one of the things that I have found so productive about picking up tshuvot at random by the day they were written is that we get to meet all sorts of important Jewish figures of our past who we don't know for various reasons. And it's a reminder that there are the greats whose names we know and whose works we study, and then there were greats who didn't make that impression, that kind of an impact on Jewish history, but were greats in other ways. So this is one of the chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, and he ruled in practice in the late 1800s. He ruled in practice that these Ethiopians need to be treated as full Jews, and the way he wrote it was, who's going to doubt the Radvaz and the Marikash, when they said that they're from the tribe of Dan? Who's ever going to doubt that? And this was written up in a later tshuva by the rabbinic court of Yerushalayim, and therefore Rav Yosef says, that's what we have to do. He points out that when he was chief rabbi in the early to mid-70s, he ruled this way about this question. He ruled that in 1973, and later in 77, when the Israeli government agreed and decided to apply the law of return, right? The state of Israel has a law that anybody who is Jewish has the right to come and become immediate citizens of the state of Israel. The question is, who's Jewish for those purposes? The state of Israel eventually decided to, Rabbi writes this, I think, with a little bit of pride in the fact that he had helped out this Jewish community, that when the state of Israel ruled that the law of return did apply to the Ethiopians, they pointed to his tshuva as part of the reason they did so, based on his belief that the decision of the Radvaz and Marikash must have been based on their investigation of the issue. They must have known, and therefore it must be true. Then he mentions that in the early 50s, 1954, Rav Herzog had a question of Ethiopians, and Rav Herzog wasn't sure that they were Jewish, and Rav Herzog's reason for not thinking they were Jewish was that academics, and this you can look up with the Wikipedia page about Beta Yisrael, you can look up Falashas, Beta Yisrael, Ethiopian Jews. So the academics, and nowadays they even have genetic studies that they think show it, suggested that the Falashas, the Ethiopians, are not, the Beta Yisrael, are not genetically Jewish, are not originally Jewish. They must have converted at some point, and then Rav Herzog held, and they converted, but they didn't convert to keep all the mitzvos. We know that because they're not keeping all the mitzvos, and therefore he thinks it probably wasn't a valid conversion, because the halacha is that if somebody converts without intent to keep all the mitzvot, including even just rabbinic ones, that's not a valid conversion. Now that's not an obvious stance to take, because the Gemara does know of people who convert and don't know anything about Judaism. So theoretically you could say, maybe the Beta Yisrael converted at some point, but when they converted, weren't told all of the scope of Jewish law, and they kept what they knew, and whether that's a valid conversion or not is not as clear. In any case, Rav Herzog's case was, that's the way he ruled. He didn't think they were fully Jewish. He didn't think they were Jewish originally. He thought they must have converted. And since he didn't think the conversion was necessarily valid, then he thought it was valuable to convert them in front of a Beit Din, and that's what he did in the 1950s. He's got a Beit Din down. He converted them. So let's remember, none of these people are saying we should do anything to discourage the Ethiopians from becoming part of the Jewish community. And I think it's a point that was lost at the time in the political discussion. There was no opinion that said, well, Rav Moshe knows what people are saying, we shouldn't bother educating them, but Rav Moshe was vigorously against that. But in the positions that we're talking about here, the Rav Herzog, who's saying that we should convert them, and Rav Moshe is saying that convert them, are not saying anything about whether we want them to be part of the Jewish world. They're only saying, we think that there's a technical issue that's come up here that can be solved by having them convert. And that's what he did. Rav Avadya Yosef writes that at the time, he thought it was wrong, because he's always thought, you follow the view of the Radvaz, and and Marikash and Raphael Meir Panigel, and he didn't say anything at the time, though, because Rav Herzog was the Rav HaRashi, and he was converting them anyway, and it wasn't a big deal, and the Ethiopians involved didn't mind and didn't care, and so he didn't speak up. But in fact, he doesn't feel that way. Then he notes, and I'm going to run out of time, Rav Yosef isn't really our tshuva for the day today, so I'm going to cut this discussion of Rabbi Yosef short. But then he notes that the Tzitz Eliezer also had problems about this and worries about whether the Ethiopians were Jewish. And Tzitz Eliezer also was worried about Mamzerid issues. He was worried about their lineage because, once again, if they're Jewish, that if their marriages and divorces don't go the right way, then you have a problem with lineage and with mamzerut, with whether they can intermarry to the Jewish people. So in some halachic senses, it would be almost better if we thought of them as not Jewish. And Rabbi Yosef doesn't think that that's correct either. So that's where it comes out, basically. You have these two groups of opinion, Rabbi Yosef on the one side, and I think he eventually won, but Rabbi Yosef on the one side, and standing up for. And is it possible that because he was a Sfaradi and he felt that Sfaradim had also been discriminated against for the darker color of their skin? I think it's possible. I would never know, but I think it's possible. But he certainly has halachic precedent. He has the Radvaz on his side, which isn't a bad thing. Person to have on your side, the Marikash on his side, and the Rav Arashi from the end of the 19th century, or Frau Meir Panigel, all of whom held that we can treat and we should treat Ethiopians as full Jews, and that the problems of mamzerut, of lineage, are not an issue, and therefore they're just full Jews, and we should bring them and welcome them into the Jewish community. On the other side, you had other great Torah scholars. You had Rav Herzog, you had Rav Avadya Yosef, who held that they may be Jewish. It may be that the Radvaz is right. They may once have been Jewish, and now they got so mixed in with other Ethiopians that we can't be sure they're Jewish now, or they may never have been Jewish, or they may have had a conversion that's not fully valid. Whatever the result of it is, these authorities held that we should welcome them into the Jewish community and bring them and teach them and train them, but we should have them convert just for the purpose of being sure that they are actually Jewish, and then they should be considered and welcomed as full, complete Jews with no distinction between them and any other Jews, any other converts, and just the way we have to love all converts, we would have to love these Ethiopians. So that is a response of a day for the 28th of Sivan. Have a great day.